ABC Sport.
This is AFL Saturday with Clint Wilder.
It's bouncing, it's through. That is simply sensational.
AFL coaching record holder.
Mr. Mick Malthouse.
The man's about to coach a team for the 715th occasion.
Premiership clash.
Number 12, Luke Ball.
Finals pressure. Luke Ball from 45 metres out directly from goal. Score the level.
AFL Saturday. On your radio, ABC Sport Digital. And ABC Listen.
The three-peat is truly alive for Brisbane. They lock in a top four and the double chance after the victory last night at the MCG. Way too good for Collingwood. The Magpies, they now look ahead to the wild card games. And what is the situation with Scott Pendlebury? The Hawks, still a chance perhaps to push the Lions out of third spot, and that trip to face an undermanned Swans at the SCG in the first week of the finals, but they'll have to beat the West Coast Eagles by around 100 points to do so. There's a lot to go through here on Saturday AFL, but firstly, what about last night? A great eight from Logan Morris. Draper won it down, socket forward here, Morris. He was at the top of the goal square, just stretched out the right boot and put it through for his sixth.
Sloman going back with the fly. Takes a strong mark, gives it over the top. Spinning out of trouble is Morris. He's equaled his PB of seven. Ashcroft, Will, couldn't quite get it over the top to the intended target. Here's Logan Morris. Oh, when you're hot, baby. He's reached out and given some high fives to the crowd. And it's the most he's ever kicked in a game. The sensational goal kicker from the Brisbane Lions has just booted his eighth.
He wasn't just hot, he was absolutely sizzling, Logan Morris, last night, as were the Lions, despite a little blip through, well, late in that game. They would have been nervous for a bit after absolutely romping away to a 75-point lead, had that cut back to 39, then were able to steady to win by 63. I'm alongside the coaching icon here at the Docklands as we build up for the Blues and the Dockers. Mick Malthouse joins us on AFL Saturday. G'day to you, Mick.
G'day, Clint. How are you going? And I'm looking forward to the rest of this. We've had two games that have been, let's say, scratchy.
Mm.
Did Brisbane sort of say, here we go again, and Collingwood will say, well, you know, we parked it. The other game wasn't worth worrying about.
The other game was
14,000 people. I reckon they got them off the street here. They just locked them in and then, you know, threw the keys away. I'm a bit worried about today's game here,
mm-hmm.
to see where that ends up too. Because I was listening to one of the coaches. I don't want to take too long here, but I've listened to one of the coaches say this, exactly what I said about what we were talking about last night. Psychologically, you can't stop players thinking about next week.
Yep.
And you can't stop players, particularly those that haven't been in there too often, which Fremantle haven't. You know, Geelong, Collingwood, perhaps Brisbane, and these sort of, they've been there. So they know how to handle situations. So you worry about Brisbane sort of thinking, we want to win, but we also want to be safe and sound. And we look at Carlton going, well, we've made it, so let's save ourselves for next week. So these are the games that I think as a coach you pray to get through, and you just hope that that when the siren goes, you walk off and go, now let's start the final series. If next week is called the final series.
Premiership pilot Luke Ball, how would you be feeling as a player ahead of these sorts of games?
Yeah, hi Clint, hi listeners. Yeah, look, yeah, I did. I watched last night, and I guess what are the questions that come out of it? You know, should Collingwood have actually played those key players? And in the end, I think they'll say that, and they got through, Pendlebury aside, as you mentioned, Clint, off the top.
Not a lot of games.
He's the big watch out of it. But yeah, Nick Dacos, you know, 80-odd minutes, which is a tough training session. They probably have that this week if they don't play anyway, maybe, you know, without the hits and bruises. But I think that's okay. Jordan Ngui cop one at one stage, didn't he? But he seems to have got through okay. So they get through, and in the end, the proof will be in the pudding next week, won't it, as to whether it was the right decision to play them or not. I think we've got to trust a club like Collingwood, yeah, and their leadership and their, you know, their very highly regarded strength and conditioning man. Pendlebury's probably a different case, isn't he, because of his age and the miles on the clock. I was surprised that he played last night, because I think throughout the year, what we've seen from him, off a break, you know, fresh. He's like a, you know, Dacos, thoroughbred, isn't he? Oh, fresh off a break.
Feels exactly the same.
They just, they're much better, aren't they? So whether he plays or not, it's going to be interesting.
I'll play him if he's available.
No.
He played so well early last night, didn't he?
Yeah, he was good early.
Just exquisite.
Yeah. Some of the stuff.
Yeah. So you just hope, hopefully, you know, the Bursa, hopefully it was just precautionary and he'll be okay. And he'll have, you know.
Well, he chalked off, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, I think we trust him that he knows his body and he'll be okay. And they'll get some troops as well. Maynard will be back next week. Lipinski and Quaynor comes back into the team as well. So all systems go for them to next week and the opportunity. We know it's a 5-week season for them now if they want to go through and do something, you know, truly amazing. So in the end, you know, the result last night, it didn't really matter. They got, I thought the way the kids played it out, and you said it, Clint, they kicked 6 goals in a row in that last quarter. It looked like a 100-pointer at one stage, didn't it? And the Hawks supporters were turning the TV off. But I think they kicked 5 in a row, and it was Anderson, 6 in a row, there you go. And it was Anderson, Harvey Harrison, it was West. It was young player. They had Dacos and Cameron and Jeremy Howe on the bench. So that's encouraging. I think that's been the encouraging thing for Collingwood supporters. And they'll get, whoever it is next week, they'll get a fantastic experience in front of a huge crowd in a finals-like atmosphere. Mm. The Lions, on the other hand, you talk about health being your biggest asset at this time of year. They tell us McCluggage is going to be cherry ripe the week after next. So their biggest headache at the moment is who goes out for him.
Well, have they had a look at a couple of incidents that we spoke about last night yet, or they did that on Monday?
The Gallup one, maybe.
Yeah, that's one.
I think he's okay.
I think he'd be a bit stiff.
Yeah.
I think he's okay because there's no concussion.
Zorko
trying to smother. I think he's okay.
I think he got locked up. Yeah, in that he's okay too. I think. Well, you put your arms up to smother.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, look, I want to put up my wrist, but my elbow's got to be stuck to my rib cage. So I think he's
okay.
But you know, clearly anything like that now, particularly the goey, wasn't it? Sat down for a little while, then got up. They're going to look at it.
So it feels like, I mean, it's going to be a huge effort for Hawthorn. You heard the coach say, look, we just need to get our game going. Forget about a 100-point win.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to get confidence and get it. And the Eagles won't want to, you know, they won't want to be
turned up the toes,
fodder, won't they? So it looks like Brisbane will lock up third spot and they get to go to Sydney and we know what's happening there. So really, all things equal, it's a prelim final in Brisbane. We'll see you at the MCG on the last Saturday in September, Clint.
The concern would be, and again, West Coast kids who have been absolutely outstanding are getting tired. Mm. They've decided at last, he's been officially managed, but the co-captain, Duggan, left out of this game, that they were putrid again last week, West Coast. And we've seen twice they've been beaten by over 100 points. And one of those games was, and I remember when it happened, everyone in the West went, I thought we'd move past this. But I do think if Hawthorn get going...
Yeah.
There is a chance West Coast are in the dead zone. They're battling. They could make a real run at it. So if you're a Hawks fan, I wouldn't rule that out just yet. But you're right. You've got to make the trip.
It's a bit of intrigue on the Sunday night game, the last home and away game
for
the
good
season. Yeah, it is. It's something. Great. It would have been a dead rubber. Yeah, we've got to talk about Logan Morris. I mean,
we do.
What a player. What? 21, just turned 21 this year. And I think, you know, it's all the stats, really. It's really only the greats of the modern era that are ahead of him at the same age. And you look at him, Mick, and everyone talks about he slides through to pick 31 in the draft. There's all those clubs that need a key forward now that had all those picks in front of him. But when you look at him, you almost can, you know, in fairness to the recruiters, you can probably see why he perhaps didn't really stand out. Because you go, why is he so good? And you know, clearly 65 entries a week helps, and the team that he's playing helps clearly. But he just looks like it. He's not overly big. He's not overly strong. You know, I think he's athletic. I think he can jump. We saw a couple of times last night. Yeah, and really good hands. And you know,
he's got the smarts.
I think that's it, isn't it? Just he reacts split second quicker than his defender every time. Now those last couple of goals where his sockers went off the ground, he just reacted quicker.
Yeah.
And the ball that, you know, the grubber ball that came in, reacted quicker, picked it up off his toes and kicked the goal. So I mean, what a player! He still looks he barely looks like he shaves still, doesn't he? Baby face.
Josh Fraser is expected to join us very shortly. Stick around if you're a Blues fan or just interested in the decision this week, and rightly so. the Blues deciding to make Josh Fraser incredibly successful as an interim coach. He becomes their official senior coach. Congratulations to him. And I know both of you have spent time with him on his footballing journey so far. So we'll hear from Josh Fraser very shortly. But I do want to touch just again on what was one of the more, well, more controversial issues of the game. Certainly it's going to be a talking point this week about resting players, as we mentioned before. Should some of the senior players be rested? And also, what is the situation with Scott Pendlebury and the way that he wasn't able to complete the game last night? Here is Craig McRae speaking to the media last night.
Well, I think if anyone that goes off and plays 20% of game time in the last round has to, there's something there, but we won't know until there's a scan. So we were a bit conservative going into the game with, you know, Paddy Lipinski and Quainer and then Bruzzy as well. Those three probably would have played if this was our last shot at things. And but everyone else wanted to play, and you know, that's probably a testament to our young group. There's an energy. There really is an energy of growth, and people want to be part of that. And Nick and Darcy Cameron were two that were adamant they wanted to lead because all our other leaders were out, and we managed their game time. They both played close to 60%. So, even that sort of feels a bit of a compromise to what we want to do as a collective. But, yeah, we'll move quickly on this stuff and we'll keep moving towards what's next.
Cray also speaking a couple of times about they're not going to review that game last night in any way, shape or form. What about the opposite side of things for the Brisbane Lions? Victorious last night. They're not sure exactly where they'll finish, though it does look like, all probabilities will suggest, in third spot. And they'll head up to Sydney to take on the Swans in a qualifying final. But what Chris Fagan does know is he's going to play in the top four at the end of the season. Here is Chris Fagan after their win last night for the Brisbane Lions.
Happy to win, happy to get the double chance. When we were 6-6, sort of halfway through the season, that finishing where we have didn't quite seem possible, and we've been able to win 10 games since then and had one shocking loss against Carlton. But it's been a great effort by everybody at the club to knuckle down and put ourselves in this position. I don't know whether we'll finish third or fourth, but I think that's as fourth is as bad as we can finish, isn't it? So, you know, you fight all year to try and give yourself the best chance to win a flag, and you've got to finish in the top four, I reckon, to do that. And the fact that we've done it is just a real credit to the group.
Do you feel like you're peaking at the right time?
Everybody asks you that. I don't know. Like, we don't deliberately peak our players. Like, it's not something that we do. But maybe because they've been together so long as a group now, they're sensing finals and opportunity, and that helps them raise the bar on performance.
Can you peak your players, Mick Malthouse?
Yeah, you can. You can give the training run a little bit more venom, a bit harsher, so the player group, you want them cherry ripe by the right games, and if they're a little bit tired in certain games, and then you back off before the finals, that's just logic. So I'd say his fitness people would be all over that. So, yes, you can. And you could also choose where you play a few blokes and how you play them and what percentage you play them. So, look, I've got to say this, though. You don't always have the luxury of that because you're chasing a spot in the eight. It's only when you submit. And if I go back through my coaching, did we finish on top? Yeah, I think probably only two or three times ever. Did we finish? We finished fourth and won a premiership. I know both playing and coaching finished fourth and won premierships, but that was, I think, both of those were bad losses in the last game. I know playing was. It was certainly a bad loss. That wasn't. I can categorically say that wasn't a plan by any stretch. So there's limited times you can do that. And the more finals games there are, and the more that nothing can change, the more you're going to get people in the last week or so getting things ready and starting to shuffle the deck chairs. But as far as when you've got full control, like, say, Fremantle have and Sydney had for a while, and you're coming into the last 6 to 10 weeks, you can go, well, look, we're pretty comfortable with look of the draw. We can up it, and then we just back them off just before the finals so we can really have a run at the finals. And the best idea about having a 23-man squad for a game is probably another four or five. If you can have, and Clint, you know how well Peel are going, which is the Dockers' second side. They're on top as well. So there's probably four or five players there. You know, Darcy could come in for Cox, blah, blah, blah. We know. And so they're in a really good position. Sydney now different. Hawthorn are probably getting outside of Nash, I think, getting their group together. We've seen Brisbane now. They don't know what to do with McCluggage. I mean, clearly they're going to play him. So they've also got that. But there was one comment that was made, I think, last night by Chris Fagan. I think their seconds are out of the finals. So they've now, the players that aren't ready to go play finals football have to be really flogged on the training track to replicate a type of game. So that's, again, that's a bit different again, you know. But the idea is to have quality 25, 26 players, 27 players perhaps, and know that if you lose one, you can replace him.
Plenty put a line through them, I think.
Yeah.
I think plenty put – so as Fagan said then, they were 6-6, and go back to round 11, they got absolutely hammered at GWS. And then Freo went and beat them pretty comfortably in Brisbane.
Yeah, that's sort of when Fremantle took the – where the premiership
We're number one, the number one seed. And I think – and it wasn't just the win-loss. It was the way they were getting scored against too. I think that
– history shows
they looked all out of sorts. That's right. So I think at that point, you know, people were – maybe not ever. Maybe just given their talent, just their you know, pound for pound, their absolute talent. If they could get them healthy, it felt like they were the one team. And I think we said at the start of the year as well. So they played three grand finals in a row, three long campaigns. It felt like they had talent. It felt like they were the team that, out of anyone, could manage the year a bit. Could mail one in every now and then, like they did against the Giants, like they did against Carlton here, and. The challenge for everyone watching was, well, are we going to overreact to that? Are we going to overreact to the fact that they're not a top four defence? And it's history shows it's pretty hard to win it if you're not the top four defence. I just think this team and this level of talent has the ability to buck trends and buck history. And they've got themselves fit and healthy with, you know, hopefully for them, for their sake, three games in front of them.
So, history to me is a great drawing card. Very few, I'll stand corrected on this, but there's not many sides that have been beaten badly have won premierships. Now, we know that Carlton give them a flogging here. You said about Fremantle. Who was the other side?
GWS.
Yeah. Oh, 14-1.
Yeah.
And what would, Clint, you were, we were talking about this last night, Collingwood on their knees with two-thirds of the crowd gone and resting players on the bench, they kicked the next six goals. Yeah. I know that's can be a mental thing with, maybe Brisbane's just sort of backing off a bit, but the way Collingwood kicked them, they cut them to ribbons going through and still kicked 15 goals, nine. And that would be the biggest worry of having 15 goals scored when Collingwood were probably at two-thirds rate. And the other thing about it too, when that game was hot early and it meant a little bit, the way Collingwood, and Craig McCracken's soul anyway likes, but the way their defence was, it was outstanding. They locked that ball in. We had a 70-metre rule. Remember the old 70-metre rule? No player outside of, they've got to be within 70 metres of the ball. I reckon they've almost gone to 60 metres, where they just locked that ball in, and it's good size. When they get through, they'll score easily, which Brisbane did. Got through a couple of times and scored easy goals. But against other sides, and Brisbane are one of the best, if not the best side, they just hold that ball in there like they did against Hawthorn and score. It's whether they can maintain that for a whole game. That's what happened with Hawthorn. They were able to get back and draw the game. So not all's lost to Collingwood either.
One of the things that stood out to me in the press conferences last night was we mentioned it. Chris Fagan was not happy when those six straight goals were kicked against him. He got asked the question about how was he feeling on the bench when the Magpies made that run. Here he is.
Yeah, I suppose because we're in this situation where we're playing now and other teams can now work out, you know, Hawthorn can work out how much they need to win by on the weekend to get past us and get into third spot. So I was just thought, oh, we gave away a few easy goals there for a patch in the middle, but we recovered and kicked a few at the end, so I was just being a grumpy old coach, to be honest. If you had said to me tonight we'd win by 63 points, I would have taken that.
He's allowed to be a grumpy old coach, occasionally.
Well, you do become grumpy because it's a lot of it's out of your control.
Yeah,
And that 10 minutes was totally out of his control. He didn't know what he was doing. He swung around. The thing that did tip it in their favour again was get rid of the... I think Darcy Ford came off and on goes Draper, and Draper goes, I'm sick of this. But the thing was, Cameron wasn't in the ruck. I think it was Long.
It was McStay. Well, it was Long.
No, I think it was Long.
But it was out of centre bounce.
So he looks across and goes, where's my ruck? Where's the other ruckman? How come this bloke's in here who I've seen him actually as a midfielder? I'm going to whack it out of this. And he cleans it up, and, of course, then they get momentum back again. So it's amazing how a side, and this I don't think this reflects well on the AFL, quite frankly, is that a side that's won a premiership can go and get a first ruckman and a top forward from the bottom side, from the two bottom sides, and strengthen the side that's just won two premierships. I really don't see how that could sit well in AFL office.
Yeah, I guess, and we had this debate at the start of the year, didn't we? Again, to play devil's advocate. I mean, 7 years ago, everyone was packing up and leaving Brisbane. So sometimes you've got to get your act together, and you've got to dip your cap, and they've got their act together. They've got great people. They've got the right coach in.
They've recruited well.
But that's the game. Like, you've got to have some sort of competitive advantage, and everyone's got the same salary cap, and that's going to come under real pressure now. I mean, you talk about Logan Morris. Imagine the offers he's going to get now to leave.
So some
are going to fall out. But this is their they are in a complete sweet spot, and it's all credit to them because of the decisions they've made.
The rules allow them to do that, and that's exactly right. I'm not disputing that at all, Bally. I'm just thinking, in a socialist environment that the AFL want, it's a social environment. You start putting restrictions on salaries straight away when Collingwood's, I'll go West Coast and East and Adelaide's can go and just spend what they like. But no, they're not. They're restricted. So you've got a socialist environment that becomes, it's a bit like Animal Farm. There's some far more equal than others. And at the moment, the top sides recruit free agencies, free agent players, who want to leave bottom sides. So that's self-defeating. And it was inevitable. I mean, no player's going to leave a top side going, oh, guess what, I feel sorry for Essendon. I'm going to join Essendon and spend the next 5 years of my life not playing finals. It's a natural reaction, as it is for the managers. So, yes, they've done well, but there's a system in place that is wrong. That's all I'm saying.
Lots of Mick Malthouse, the coaching icon, with us here on AFL Saturday. It's award-winning, apparently. Nice to be filling in for Corbin Middlemass, who's across doing the cricket. We'll catch up with
you. You're used to that sort of stuff. Don't forget the show in the West. That's award-winning.
It is, but we don't mention it every
single time. We're all one team, mate. We're all part of the same team.
We're all one ABC.
That's it.
I was very pleased with
that. What is the cricket score, by the way, speaking of?
Well, it is at the moment.
Going a little bit better.
We've got lunch, and things are going a little bit better. In fact, let's pause our thoughts here for a moment, because we're going exceptionally well. There is commentary, which is where Corbin and Ben are today, if you're wondering, on the second test. Lunch, Bangladesh, 6 for 35. And if you're wondering how that all played out, well, we've got Mitch Stark to thank. Let's have a little listen.
Mitchell Stark with a new ball. What will happen this time, folks? Australia bowling first. Stark rushes in, and it's edged, and it's caught in the gully. Out. First ball, squared up, and Cameron Green has taken the catch. Shadman is out to the very first ball. Stark again, and new left-hander. He's hit on the pad. How is that for LBW? It's close. The finger's up. Shanto, first ball, is given LB.
Linton Das dropped on a duck. Stark to him now. Hit on the pads. Shout for leg before. Finger stays down. They're having a look.
Balls pitching in line. Impact in line. Out. Wickets hitting. Out.
Mitchell Stark has got another test fifer. It has taken 3.4 overs and 40 minutes. Stark 5 for 4. And Mitchell Stark has torn the heart out of Bangladesh's batting lineup.
He absolutely has. 5 for 11 from 9 overs, Mitchell Stark. Pat Cummins, the other wicket taker, he's got 1 for 6. His figures, and just repeating, it is lunch on day one. Bangladesh 6 for 35 in that game up at Mackay. Call available on ABC Listen. Just look for the red cricket ball button. This is AFL Saturday on ABC Sport, on ABC Local Radio, News Radio and Sport Digital. Of course, also on streaming for ABC Listen. It's 12:30. Josh Fraser to join us very shortly. This is AFL Saturday on ABC Sport.
You're listening to AFL Saturday
with Clint Wheeldon, Mick Malthouse and Luke Ball on your radio, ABC Sport Digital and ABC Listen. Just look for the AFL button.
Frampton gives it off. Oh, well done by Connor McKenna. And then he suckers the goal! Oh, oh. No way, the Irishman! A little bit of Gaelic flavour in that one. That is brilliant.
Lohman tapped into his own advantage. Turns hard up against the boundary. Got it onto McKenna.
Oh,
McKenna! That is wonderful! He has kicked two unbelievable goals in this game. Both at the punt road end. They couldn't be more different. He's having some night out, Connor McKenna. Four goals.
Did he kick goal of the year last night, Connor McKenna? Which one?
Both of them were in contention, but I would still lean towards the first, where he's actually knocked the ball down and just stuck the right boot at it and put it through. That was a terrific goal. Like, there aren't that many goals when you're not calling where you literally leap in the air. Kelly was calling it, and I leapt into the air. Like, how was that?
And he meant to.
It wasn't a fluke. No, I spent a year at Essendon, and he had that sort of, and obviously the Gaelic background and that. The other goal he kicked off a step. He didn't even look at the goals. No. That was a real classic, wasn't it?
Just out here again.
But how's the power on that kick? So it wasn't a fluke. He used to do that sort of stuff at training and mucking around in the
Why did he leave Essendon?
It was after COVID. Did he go back to Ireland?
I've got a funny feeling he did.
Yeah, he did.
And then he came back. They didn't take him up again.
I think he was homesick as well after COVID.
Well, it's interesting. You go back to our earlier discussion. Who goes out for McCluggage? He's probably one of the ones that was. But on the other night's form. And he actually played a bit of a role as that defensive forward on Josh Dacos.
No, won't drop him.
So he can't. He has to stay.
He's a dual type player. No, you can't drop him.
Absolutely. So, but two brilliant goals. It's interesting. I'm trying to think. There was a Warner goal, wasn't there, at the Gabba where he bounced.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Turnover here.
Won the ball at left half back. Took a bounce. Kept going. Kept running. Kicked the goal.
So I always find it hard on how. What do you vote for? Is it that which not many people can do that. In footy, but then not many people can do that.
I'm a sucker for the spectacular.
You like the specky? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Degree of difficulty? I don't know.
Well, they're both tough.
Yeah, they are.
And they're totally opposite.
Yeah.
One's carried the ball from nearly halfback, and the other one's just sized it up.
Yeah. Well, he'll be stiff not to win goal of the week.
I don't think anyone.
Got two entries.
He could beat
except
himself.
Except an Irishman would kick that, honestly, because, having coached against the Irish, you just know that they can. I know it's a different shape ball, but I lucky enough to have Marty Clark and Kieran Sheen and these blokes, they can make it talk.
Yeah.
So there's no, as you said, Bully, that's no fluke. He sized it up. Split second, yes. But as you said, it was a classic.
Ah, just a genuinely ripping goal. Yeah. How are we feeling about wild cards now? Because it could be, I'm going to maintain my ideological dislike of more teams playing postseason, and they are. You can call them whatever you like. Wild cards are finals, it's postseason. More teams playing than miss out. So when we get 20 teams, which would not be that far away, then sure, we can have 10 teams playing, call them whatever you like, wild cards. But I'm also prepared to admit that if Carlton get a result here and Melbourne beat the Western Bulldogs, and you do have Carlton versus Collingwood first week in finals, you bet I'll be watching it.
Yeah, but that's only because of the romance behind it.
100%.
The ninth and tenth side, to me, it's seventh and eighth have earned the right to be seventh and eighth. They are virtually giving up any chance of winning a premiership from seventh and eighth. Now, and my reckoning is this. They've got to win a game on a weekend when everyone else has a break. Finals, football, so the other six sides are having a breather. So they are automatically getting players fresh. You have got to absolutely. We watched last night. The crowd disappeared because they are all over it. The crowd were all over last night, going halfway through the third quarter. This is. We know we're going to finish. Yep. This is not the Collingwood we know. Brisbane people probably stay until the end, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out today as well, with the crowd. But when you've got fifth and sixth now enter into new territory, very, very good territory to have a real sling at, because the top four will go at each other, no question. Fifth and sixth will sit back and go, we're playing now the winners of seventh, 10th, 8th, 9th, who have already had a week, could lose players, and we sit back and now we can belt the hell out of this side. So it's a distinct advantage to fifth and sixth. Seventh and eighth are stiff as I just don't get it. I'm with you, Clint.
I was on board to give it a go. I think now, looking, I think the challenge with it is the season's too long.
Too long. Far too long.
I think it has more merit. And you talk about, you know, the who we do copy off, the internet, the global sports, American sports. Their season's shorter.
Yep.
So you don't have teams limping in, or, you know, like 24 weeks then to have a wild card. I think that's where the challenge lies. If it was play everyone once, then the wild card. I think you could make a better case for that because of the circumstances throughout the year where the time they played them, he wasn't playing or whatever. So, I mean, you're right. The games are going to be well attended and well watched next week. That's a given because the alternative is no games. And if it's Collingwood Carlton, I mean, what a result for the AFL.
So how does that happen? That means the Carlton's got to win today, don't they?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, they've got a chance. They've got a real chance.
Oh no, it's the most likely outcome.
Carlton have to
beat Freo.
My apologies.
Yeah. Melbourne have to beat
Bulldogs. I think that's more.
I think
likely.
Melbourne beat the Bulldogs
because Melbourne need to win to finish. Yeah,
correct. I'm not sure about what happens here. This is going to be a really, really.
I reckon you'll go to halfway. It'll be like last night. I reckon you'll get to halfway through the second, third quarter. Well, maybe early third quarter. If it looks like a Fremantle victory, I reckon Carlton, if they've got sense, they'll start to wind up their better players, start to play them exactly what Collingwood did last night. Pull them off, put them on the bench, little cameos for 5 or 6 minutes because you don't want to destroy the other players because they're going to be playing next week as well. Got to remember there's a game next week with Carlton regardless. So you've got to protect.
Yep.
You've got to protect that group. Fremantle, not really. As much as there are a lot of young players in there that haven't sampled big finals, they've still got another week. So that's the thing. Remember, Collingwood last night, Carlton today, along with the Bulldogs, all know
it has to have one eye to next week.
They're playing next week, so if you look like losing, you pull the bat.
Yeah, I think I agree. Yeah, totally. You watch Freo every week. How many players are playing for a spot in the first qualifying final today? Question with that, and we'll get into it more obviously with the short game preview. But because that's the argument for Freo.
Yes, they go with Cox for two reasons. Darcy had a calf problem against. Oh. 2 weeks ago for Peel, so they won't risk.
Is he back?
No. I mean, he may be. Well, there's a week gap, of course, but I'm still sticking with that. They will stick with Cox unless Mason Cox absolutely stinks it up today. So Darcy may be available with the week off with the wild card.
This hasn't played enough, has he? Can I just?
Go? I'm not changing what they're doing.
Can I throw this one in? Because I know you see them every week, and are you surprised that, given the. I know they've got a week off. Are you surprised that Young's playing? Because he is so important to them. And he's the one that's been the soft tissue injury and the fallout guy that when he comes back in the side, it's noticeable. When
I wouldn't
he comes
have
back
brought him today.
No.
I wouldn't have brought
him. So I'm interested to see, at the end of the day, what minutes he plays. Given, I can understand, because when you haven't got a game next week, you don't want to have a player miss 2 weeks. But unless he's a very highly experienced, Penderbury's type, with vast experience. But I'll be interested to see what's the game time, because he is, I reckon, if there's an Achilles heel with Fremantle, it's the depth of their midfield, because you'd love to see that Bolton goes on and has the same cameos as he normally has, but he's unreliable. Whereas Young is a reliable player, and if he's not there, he puts pressure back onto their
midfield. And he's got some serious X factor too, hasn't he? Go forward, kick goals.
So is there anyone else outside the side that could come in?
Well, Murphy Reid's not playing today. And that's because he copped one in the unmentionables a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, so it's not a torn groin.
No, he just
ginger.
He's not just, well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's.
It's one where it's really funny if it's not you. That's why I describe it.
Judd McVie wants to play well today, doesn't he?
Judd McVie needs to play exceptionally well. I think, and again, it hinges on who they absolutely end up against. But Brendan Cox needs a big game today.
Who would come in for him?
Well, it's Oscar McDonald. It's sort of. Well, can you play all?
He's been very terrific.
And so that's the thing with McVie going. With McVie coming into the side, you then have this pressure about what do you do. So Chapman's gone out today, and Chapman's an absolute.
He's a lock.
Starter.
Yeah,
he's played 22 games.
Has he been rested?
He's been rested.
Right. Okay.
And he's one of the three players rested today for the Dockers have played the 22 games. Chapman, Switkowski, and Amos. So they've said. We don't need any more from
that's
you.
Good management.
You can take a couple of weeks off. You have the break. But Chapman will return instantly. He's an exceptional mark. He's got genuine class around the ground. He's coming in. So
Cox is the man.
Cox, McVie, there are question marks. Who do you go with over that? And I normally would have Cox ahead of McVie, but that's a
McDonald,
question.
Didn't you?
Well, I'd have McDonald because McDonald
is
coming.
Why is he out of the side?
Well, he just couldn't squeeze his way in. And then through management, he's been able to come in and play so well that he kept his spot.
Because he's like a dog with a bone. He just doesn't let go.
Well, if you look at how they played against Melbourne when they lost, he was one of their very best players.
That's what I mean. He's one of the players. Yeah, I'm surprised that I'm surprised that he's not in the side, because you've got Pierce, who is fundamental to their back line, but is fragile.
You're talking about McDonald?
No, I'm talking about Pierce.
No, you say McDonald's not in the side?
No, McDonald's in the
side.
He forced his way in through management and then has kept his spot. But one of the reasons he's been able to keep his spot is because along the way, they've rested Pierce, they've rested
Chapman.
That's
Chapman, where I'm
coming from. They've been able to shuffle things around for him to keep his position.
Yeah. He is such an important player with Pierce having that knee injury. Every time that Pierce lands on that knee, it's going to give him pain. Mm. And it takes some time to get over. He might have to sit on the bench a couple of times. Or he misses. And I don't think they can afford to have him out of the side. He's a very good captain. He's structurally, he's a bit like Taylor from GWS. It's hardly a forward that can beat him.
Yeah.
So he's fundamental. But if something happens, that's where McDonald, to me, becomes that player that... He's Mr. Reliable, doesn't get a lot of the football, but just torments the backline player, a forward line player, to the point you have to beat him to be a good player.
I want to ask you very quickly about how it emerged that after waiting for so long to see which games would be on which days, we could have such an absolute stinker on Thursday night.
I didn't think we were going to talk about it.
No, we have to. I had to bring it up.
Yeah.
Because, again... There are these two marquee games, and one of them that goes around the entire nation was just that absolute rabble that we saw.
Is that because of the gap in between games?
Well, maybe, but again, we've got the wild card, so any of the teams. And I would say again,
no, but I'm talking about the last round though. I'm talking about round 20. What are we? 24 or whatever it is. 20, whatever to say. So I'm looking at last week.
But you can arrange rounds 23 and 24 because we had to wait.
I understand that. But isn't it some computer nerd in Ottawa?
Maybe they thought. I mean, crowd attendance has been relatively low Thursday night, so at least people will sit at home and watch it on TV. I'm not sure too many did that after halftime either, though, did they? But
it's just a bad look. Yeah, to have no one.
Well, I think there was more.
No one.
I think there was more overwatching the Storm at Amy Park. But anyway,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. Gold Coast had to finish on a good note. Let's just quickly touch on the game. Mm. I think that was encouraging. The challenge they're going to have. It looks like Ben King, in his mind, played his last game for the club. So you heard the coach making an open invitation for any mature key forward out there to give him a call, because they can't hit round one next year if they want to be a serious top four, top six team. You'd think, Mick, with Walter and Reed as their two key forwards. I know, Ugel Hagen will probably get another chance, but they had to finish off the year well springboard into next year.
That Bally, I know they're different teams, but that's what's happened to Port Adelaide. Once big Charlie Dixon went, it rested on Georgiades, and Georgiades is a second tall, he's an Amos type. So very, very good, wonderful player, but he can't do it by himself. And if Gold Coast expect that it's all going to happen in front of them with these younger players, he's spot on. They won't have the same sort of year next year. I reckon they'll be far better. I do. I really do think. I know King's important to them.
Yeah.
And he will go. As you'd see by his body language. But I think they'll be a better side next year. They'll get rid of the sookie la las, and they'll start to work out that you're in the big league now. This is not about pampering to you. You want Petrarca to start to earn his dollar, and you want Miller to get back to what he was.
Which he did. His last month was terrific.
Absolutely. And you know why? Because Petrarca went off the boil. Yes. So they robbed Peter to pay Paul. So. I think their back line is quite sound. Their rucks are... Witt's hardly played there all year.
Moyle's a genuine ruckman.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I think Witt will probably go.
And Humphrey re-signing's, a real positive.
A big plus. No, I think they'll be better. And I think, quite frankly, I think Port Adelaide, without injuries... it depends on what happens to Butters and whether they get their captain back. He hasn't played all year. I'm trying to think of his name.
Rosie.
Yeah. So, and if he comes back in good, at the moment they tell me there's a little bit of scar tissue worry at the back of his hamstring, which is a worry, Bally, because you can't get top pace.
Yeah.
But if he comes back and they're able to get good, what's the word on Butters? There is suggestion that he wants Port to actually benefit from it.
So he won't walk. He's been consistent all the way through. That while he does, you know, again, he's not saying he's going to stay, and he's never said that. But he's also,
I'm not going to rob. Doesn't want to club.
A bit like when Liam Baker left Richmond. Like I still have great connections to this club, and for whatever reason, I want to go home. But I also don't want to punish the club in that. So I want the club to actually get something.
So that means that Butters, the club that picks him up, has to. It's not going to be free agent, get nothing. It's going to be trade. And
I'll match the offer and have to trade. Ironically, the club that can provide the most for Port is Richmond. So I don't know how generous you want to be.
I think the Dogs can.
What can the Dogs give?
I think haven't they got a second round? Haven't they got a first round and a second round pick from?
But they're not pick one or two.
Sorry. No, they haven't. But
it'll be pick 8, 9, or 10.
Yeah, but I think they'll also have to get another one.
They'll have to trade in futures.
Yeah, they will. And I actually think Port will want a player too. Like, because picks are one thing, and yes, they are, they've resisted it, but they do. You know, they're in a rebuild.
Well, if Geelong, so
I think they'll want a player.
Unless Geelong give up Dempsey, I can't see them getting him under those.
But it might be Polkinghorne, for example. And I think Geelong's shown enough in the past, shown enough form to say, look, we'd love to keep you, but this is a once in a generation opportunity.
I get that.
And he's an Adelaide boy, isn't he? That's the example of a sort of player that Port will go, you know what, that softens the blow a little bit.
He's a desert boy.
Country SA.
He's coastal. Let's go 500 kilometres away, if not further.
Yeah.
So he's right smack bang in the middle of that lower area of south of the Great Ocean, the Great Australian Bight. So, yeah, I get that, particularly with Neil being so young. I can understand why Geelong will go, look, we've got this kid, he's only 22, 23, and he's going to kick 50, 60 to 100 goals a year. So I get that. I reckon the Dogs can still. It'd be interesting to see really the mindset. Has he promised the Dogs that he would go there? He seems to me to be a kid.
I don't think he has. I believe him. He hasn't made up his mind. I want the games to finish, and then I'm going to sit down, take a breather, and make an informed decision. Well, we're all in a hurry to get to the bottom of it. Where's he going to go? I think we've got to believe him. And I think
I do believe that
attitude and the way he is an all-in man, player. Person, I think we've got to believe him.
I would say he's almost the poster boy.
Yes.
For someone who, look, is going to leave, but you cannot fault that while he's at your football club, he is given absolutely 100%. Everything this year. And that's while someone's wearing the jumper, if they do that, then while you can be disappointed they leave because they're no longer going to represent your club, you can't deny their output when they're on the field performing. He has been exceptional for Port this year.
Yeah, well, not only this year, right back from
this year when there are questions, and I think they can say whatever they like. We know he's leaving. Clubs know he's leaving. Agents know he's leaving. He wants to come back to Victoria. But that doesn't mean he's looking to next year. Well, he's absolutely committed to this cause right now.
Well, he tried to get back in this last game.
Of course.
He's come off a
bad injury.
A shocking injury to the ankle. So the effort to try to get back, and I think he's, what I can understand, he's bitterly disappointed that he can't actually get out there this week, and he wouldn't have been any good because of his ankle. Yeah. But, there's some, and then you've got Neil here. The MCG last night was outstanding.
Yeah.
He looks like heading to Collingwood.
Yeah.
So there's...
Well, that's the thing, and we've spoken about it. You record examples of where... Because that's the exception of the rule. A lot of the time, the players who are knowing they're going to leave find that challenging, don't they?
I mean,
you could argue Ben King. I mean, he's done his job, Ben King. We've been critical at times of him being a bit one-dimensional. He's kicked 60 goals.
60.
So, you know...
I'd say put him second or third.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, he's an example of someone who's at least, you know, come game day, been able to put his head down and do his job, despite the fact that we think he's going
to
leave.
Clint, can I just throw this to you? I'm throwing this to you because you are in the West, and we're talking about West Coast here. What are they're going to really pick? Will they? And the word is that they could throw that into the mix to get a player.
No, I don't believe that.
You don't reckon?
No.
So they'll go draft again.
Don Pike, I've spoken to him on this a couple of occasions. He said we are all in with going back to the draft.
Right. So that means that Essendon and them and who's third bottom is...
West Coast. So Port. Essendon, Richmond, West Coast.
Right. So they all stick to their picks, which, okay. So, but we haven't heard a lot about this greatness in the draft this year. There's a couple of good father sons. Walker's in it.
Cochrane and Walker. Yeah.
Now Cochrane's interesting because he's suffered a couple of injuries, hasn't he? So, and I'm against father son.
I understand.
Really?
I'm against father son.
Is that new?
No. This has been a consistent argument.
Oh, have I missed that one?
No, because get rid of all the idiosyncrasies that paint it different. You've got to go.
You want a completely leveled
and you
draft.
Know, people go, oh, it's romantic. Yeah, well, I'll tell you how romantic it is. Yes, Geelong got Ablett. Where'd he end up? Gold Coast. I know he ended up back there. Then we've got a father son at Hawthorn at the moment who possibly will leave at the end of this year because of King going to Hawthorn. He'll end up somewhere. So let's get rid of the rot that it's got, that the player who gets picked up, father son, stays at that club. So that's a absolute furphy.
Is it romantic when Ed Allen runs out for Collingwood because his father's a Hawthorn Premiership player and also was a captain of the Fremantle Dockers? No. But is he going great for Collingwood? Yes.
Yes.
Good luck to Ed Allen. I think he's one of those group of players really developing. By the way, speaking of Ben King, we all know that he's going to depart. The emotions in the room afterwards absolutely suggested it. Here is Damien Hardwick speaking about Ben King here on Thursday night.
Now, that's free agency. That's what our game is. And, we have the last right of refusal, so that's obviously something that we'll consider. He was obviously quite emotional, so, it might possibly be his last game. We're not quite exactly sure. Once I know, you guys will know, and he'll make his thoughts clear. But, obviously, if we've got some younger players, we're really excited about Reed. We're really excited about Walter. We've got Jamara that has had a bit of a pivot year. He'll be better when he comes back. But, we probably need another experienced player. So if there's any experienced forward out there that wants to come to our footy club, give me a call.
They're hard to get, though, experienced forwards.
Well, there's one that left a club with the blessing, didn't make it out, didn't sort of work out, and begged to come back, and is their leading goal kicker, Gunston. Mm. So there's the odd one that's going to be... There's Hogan, could be a... And I don't know whether he's called Jake Stringer a
he's not big enough, is he?
That's where I'm coming from. He's probably a second or third. But Hogan's interesting because there's no doubt that he'll leave GWS.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt he's a goal kicker. There's also a doubt, this is the only doubt that I have on him, that he's currently injured. Can he get over that injury and still produce next year? If that's a yes, he's young enough to play at a club for another 3 or 4 years, quite frankly, I think. Because he's not overweight. He's good mark. He's a beautiful kick. He'd be worth looking at for Gold Coast or Collingwood.
No Josh Fraser, unfortunately. Apologies to Carlton supporters. We just weren't able to get to him. So no Josh Fraser. But we certainly wish him the best of luck. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him on the big stage for a number of years now, taking over as the senior coach of the Carlton Football Club. We're about to build up for Fremantle, the minor premiers, 2 games clear on top of the ladder, hosting the Blues, who will be celebrating the signing of Josh Fraser as their senior coach. In the meantime, if you want to chat to us, love to hear from you, 1300 558 222, 1300 558 222. Trevor has been good enough to give us a call and wants to have a chat with us. G'day, Trevor. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Enjoy the show. A couple of things. I enjoy what you have to say, Mick. And I'm not being pointed at you, but just a couple of things that you've raised. One is about the ability of top clubs to gain players from bottom clubs. It's kind of, I agree with you, but it's kind of just a cyclical thing. Like back 7 years ago, like Port Adelaide were the destination club and no one wanted to come go to the Crows. And it's sort of, I reckon if you honestly ask some of the Carlton players 12 or 13 weeks ago, I reckon some of them might have been chatting to their manager and saying, listen, what are my options? So that's that side of things. I just think it's a bit of a cyclical thing and it's sort of got a way of working itself out. Now, the other thing about the wildcard round, I think I constantly hear it from commentators, all sorts of people that, oh, well, you've got to be in the top four if you're going to be a chance to get to win a premiership. So going by the reckoning that the wild card round is a dead round for teams that aren't going to go anywhere, wouldn't that then be an argument that, well, we only need a final four?
No, because we've seen sides from the final eight who have been highly competitive. In fact, I've got a feeling that the Dogs may have won from sixth spot. Seventh, are they? And I've got a feeling that Brisbane won from fifth or sixth spot. So, no, that's not correct. We have had some sides that have gone pretty deep, if not won the premiership from those positions, because it's only 4 weeks. And if you finish in those positions, but for Collingwood, or for one of these sides in next week, has to win five games to win a premiership. Highly unlikely, because it is really testing. But the other thing is, I don't know why it's called a final. It's the finals are the top eight under our system, and they can only replace seventh or eighth if they win. So then you come into the finals. So, it's outside of the fact. Ball is right. The season's too long. It's, to me, it's not a final. It's just simply the last. It's an in to get into the final.
Yeah.
And then the reward for seventh and eighth is gone. It dissipates totally, because they can't even get a rest. I feel sorry for seventh, eighth, and they go, oh, well, look at where Carlton finished. Let's say Carlton do finish ninth. Well, it's hardly anyone else's fault that they lost seven of the first eight games. That's you can't hold the competition because they weren't good enough early. It's consistency that makes you get to the finals.
It has added some intrigue to the second half of the year, though, hasn't it? From you know, Carlton in particular. So they're the poster boy for the wild card round, because you would think that, you know, one and eight, usually.
This is what they do with kids. They give them medals and ribbons for finishing, for competing. This is what, when you play elite sport, you expect it to be elite competition. At the moment, it's not. It's mediocrity at its best, this wild card round.
I like that. It is. Mm. And I think the other thing about it is it will make it impossible for teams that finish seventh and eighth to have any chance.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's unfair. Especially when you've, as you said, the Dogs won from seventh.
Well, it might have been. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It makes it a bit hard. You're right. Yeah.
They did win from seventh.
No, it was seventh. Well, so seventh. There you go.
Yeah. They brought six players back in after the week
off. They had the week off. Yeah.
Stunned everybody by winning in the West. Yep. Came back and then were in front at the right time in one of the greatest games ever played at Giants Stadium up against GWS. Yeah. That game goes a minute longer. GWS could have hit the front again. One of the all-time greats. They rode an absolute wave of emotion to get over the line in 2016. But I just can't see that happening again from where we're at. Very quickly, Bombers, we get a coach this week, do you think?
Well, I heard a little whisper that the Fremantle assistant coach, that there might be some sort of synergies with the fact that he's in town, obviously, here today. And if the Bombers are indicating that they might have an announcement this week or in the coming week, that it might line up nicely with a certain assistant coach at Fremantle being able to hang around and go on and meet his new team. Could be nothing in that. And Clinton, I think you've quite rightfully poured some cold water on that.
Oh, no,
I'm talking about Jamie Graham. But I think, he's he's obviously one of the final couple, isn't he? So whether there's
just because I haven't heard it doesn't mean it's not true, though, Bully. I like what you're putting down.
There
I think
go.
He would
just
be
keep
a tremendous
it, just to watch. No, I agree with that, too. Yes.
Well, it's been well hidden. Anyway, if Essendon have already made a decision, they've done it very, very well. They've kept it.
That's it. Thanks for your time on AFL Saturday.
See you, Mick.
All the best.